Bible says if you give a cup of water in his name, you shall be rewarded. So he got a reward coming. It's just the way it is. It's good to be here this morning. I love you folks. It's always nice to come and visit you guys. And I want to bless you today in the Word of God, but I think you're a blessing to all of us. And probably a lot of it is, I came here even before my family was here. I remember the first time I was here. I think Tommy had his eye on Jolene then, I think. That was part of it. You had a, yeah. That was the first time we've been here. And I was here one time for a week of meetings. And I got to know the people very well. But it's interesting to see all the young people and young married couples here and children. And I think that's the strength of your church right there. We need to take care of our young people. Amen? They need us. They need encouragement. There's a lot of trials and temptations out there for them and for all of us. They won't go away. They're here to stay. The trials. They will come. And but Christ said, I'll make a way of escape. He'll take care of us. Also, Martha shared about, her brother Ray. And we see him pretty much every Sunday. And he's a giant in the Lord. I tell you, he's not only a big, big man, but he's also a giant in Christ. And we just love him. And I made a statement here a while back. I wonder how come people have to get that kind of report that he had to really encourage the healthy people that don't have that report. I mean, he encourages everybody that we think we're healthy and everything is okay. But he's the guy that lifts us up. It's amazing. And he's happy. You know, when Ray shows up, you know he was there. You know, he'll leave something when he goes home. I tell you, I just love that brother. And we went to Pickens here a while back. He gave his Martha and I and another family. They asked him to give his testimony. So I thought maybe I'd hear more about his sickness that he's facing and the report he's got. And he didn't say a whole lot about himself, but he talked about God and Betty. Those are the two things that he talked about, his wife that passed away over a year ago. So, yeah. What I want to talk about this morning, it's a verse that was on my mind. I'm just going to read one verse, and I got quite a bit of scripture that I want to look up this morning. And I don't know if you call that preaching or not, but it's meant to be a real encouragement to the Christian of all ages. If you're a Christian this morning, you've accepted Christ, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, Bible says you're saved. This is for you. This is for you to encourage you to be faithful. There's a verse that came to me, I think it was through a song. It's probably 6 weeks ago. And I've heard this verse so often in my time. And I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I got some years behind me. And this verse was in a song. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Get that word shall. It's going to happen. You are free. And what this did to me, when I was young and I left home, I was a prodigal. I didn't want to stay where mom and dad wanted me to stay. And that was just a little bit of my life. You know, there's times I think back. There's times I think back and I ask that question after preaching for several years and serving God, being a Christian. But once in a while this will come up. Am I truly a Christian? Can I be forgiven? And this verse has set my feet on a solid rock again. I know I'm forgiven. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that's battling that very thought. You just can't rise out of that. You waddle around in your past sins. You just can't really let go of that. You have to believe this morning if Christ has forgiven you, you are a free person. Amen? That's what I got a hold of. And I want to give you some scripture this morning. And I'll make comments as the Lord leads. And that's a verse. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I love it. I hope that will bless you this morning. And the first one I want to look at is in John 3. Just a couple of verses. I got quite a bit of scripture I want to read here. The next one is St. John 3, 17 and 18. We know John 3, 16 is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the 17 and 18 is what I want. He says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This morning, people, you're not condemned. We are not condemned people. Christ did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but that we through him might have eternal life and be saved and have eternal life. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Are you believing in Christ this morning? You're not condemned by God. But if you don't believe in Christ, you're condemned. That's what the Bible says. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're not condemned this morning if you're a believer. He did not come to condemn people, but that we would believe in him and be saved. That's the message of Christ that God wants us to hear. Next one in Ephesians. There's about three verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 8. Now, I think this is some of the things that is leading in to what we need to do as we are belong to Christ. Verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Then it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, it says, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. Now here's the verse that I think is that kind of clinches the whole this chapter. It says, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. If you do good to people, after you become a Christian, you do good things for people, God will do the same back to you. God will bless you for that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized under Christ have put on Christ. Now who is that person for? What is the baptism for? It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bound nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, it says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who is it for? It's for all people. It don't matter what our background is. It don't matter what color our skin is. It don't matter if you're a boy or a girl, a woman or a man. Christ is for all people. I truly believe that. And that's what God's Word says. Now I think back in these times when the Bible probably was written, in these times of Paul that wrote Galatians, I think a lot of times, you know, they were trying to figure out who are God's chosen people. Well, if you got that question, just go back and read John 3:16. That'll set you straight. Don't ever question that God don't love you. Because He loves you right where you are. And serve Him. Grow. Get into from milk to meat. Be a baby in Christ, but then grow spiritually. Just keep going. If you fall, unless I forget to say that, if you fall, get back up. Don't stay down. Because God is not mad at you. He wants you to, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, that's for a Christian. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll shape us back up. He'll fix us back up. And you wonder maybe sometimes if temptations and trials are going to always come. What is temptation? Temptation is going to work wherever you're weak in. It's kind of an exciting thing to let something happen to where you're weak. And like, you remember back when Christ fasted for 40 days? What did Satan bring to him? He says, take those stones and turn them into bread. It was about food because he fasted for so long. You know, if you bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all this. I think there's times that Christ felt very alone, and Satan knew where he could tempt him. But he set him straight. He says, you should not tempt the Lord your God. And actually, all the things that he wanted to give away was not his to give away. That's the tempter. But he'll challenge us a lot of times where we're weak in. That they will come. Temptations will come. They will not go away. You're going to be here as long as we live, all ages. But Jesus said he will make a way to escape them. There's a way out. They will come. But you can have a way out. Christ said he promised he would help us through that we can overcome. I love that. We have to wait to get overcome. I mean, not overcome, but we have to wait to get away from that till after we die. As long as we live, there's going to be trials and temptations. There's going to be mountaintop experiences. There's going to be valleys. But the same God is on top and in the valley. He'll help us back up. John 14, I want to think a little bit about heaven, where these people are going. Where the Christians are going, these people that believe in Christ, where they're headed. Is there a heaven? I love this. I love John 14, first couple, about three verses here. Jesus told him, first he told his disciples, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, a lot of times things that trouble us, you know, they bother us, what's happening around us. And we wonder, how long can this happen? Maybe like the government and different things, what Jerry was sharing a little bit. It just bothers you if you listen to the news and you hear all those things that are happening, the murder and kidnapping and all that stuff. But we don't hear about the good things. We don't hear about the things that people accepted Christ. We don't hear about oftentimes things that that brothers and sisters do things for each other. They help each other. During the week, we got plans, you know, to help each other. That is not on the news. That is not written in the paper. It's also not in the local news when somebody accepted Christ as their personal Savior. For eternity, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Think about it. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, you shouldn't let your heart be troubled. Shouldn't let your hearts be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now here's the verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I prepare a place for you. If I go, when we know and we believe that he went, he says, I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, what are the things that we need to believe on in Christ? We need to believe in His birth. We need to believe in His preaching, that He is who He is. And we also need to believe that the cross, the finished work of the cross, that His stripes were healed, and also His resurrection. We also need to believe that he ascended into heaven after 40 days. We also need to believe, people, that he is coming back. Those are very important things, and one is probably not more important than the other one, because that's what we need to believe in Christ. And the thing that we can read about all of them, except his return. So they're all to finish, the work is all done, about preparing a place, but he's coming back to take home you and me, because we believe. We believe. We're born again, and we're set free by Christ. He's the one that's telling us these things. These capital I's in my Bible is Christ speaking. We're not speaking to him, he's speaking to us. He's given us promises that he will not break. In verse 3 it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I, capital I, will come again. And I will receive you and me to myself." That where Jesus is, he says, there you are going to be with me. He says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Then to Thomas, here we are. I'm a Thomas sometimes, and probably you are too. How can we know the way? How can we know where you're going? That's where faith kicks in. We need to have that faith. Talked about Noah this morning in Sunday school. Man of faith that walked action with God. And look what he accomplished by listening to God and being obedient to him. That great ship that was built. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I enjoyed that. I haven't read that story for a while. The comments that were given, it was a blessing again. You know, to listen to that story again, the guys, the guys are a lot smarter here than I am, I tell you what, with all the measurements and everything that happened. And I grew up with those stories, but I kind of got away from the Old Testament stories. It was a blessing to hear that again, to read that this morning. Hebrews 10. What kind of authority do we have here as Christians? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 through 20. Do you truly believe that you're free this morning? Because Christ has made you free. Totally free. There is nothing tied to you. You're a free man. You're a free woman. You're a free young person because you've accepted Christ. Now, there's a verse right here in verse 16, Hebrews 10. It says, this is the covenant. Notice the eyes that, who is speaking here? Who is telling us what he's telling us? Notice that. He says, this is the covenant that I, not the president, not the governor of the state, not the preacher, not me, but it's an I, capital I, he says, I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That is Christ working in us. He's finishing us up that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Give us the strength to fight the fight of faith. He will write those things in our hearts and our minds. This is so powerful. I still think this is probably the heartbeat of the whole Bible. Since I became a Christian is Hebrews chapter 10. I've got miles and miles of life out of this chapter. And it says in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I, capital I, remember no more. He will not remember your sins and iniquities. And I challenge you this morning, church, keep playing around in your past sins. The devil's going to keep bringing them up. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. Move on in life. That's a word of encouragement to you this morning. If you are forgiven and you believe you are, then move on in your life. Don't waddle around in that mud back in the past sins. You're a free person in Christ. Jesus said he is. You are. So claim that. It's the gospel. He says, I will not remember your past sins anymore. Why do we? Now people will remember it. A lot of times people are remembered by the sins that they committed maybe when they were young. And people like to bring them back up. But simple word, I've been set free. I've been set free. I'm a free man today, and you're a free lady today, because your sins are under the blood. Claim that. Don't let Satan tear you up. Hold on to that. Jesus said it, and we need to believe it. You are free in Christ. Your sins are not remembered against you anymore. People will remember it. And probably sometimes we will bring them up in our own thoughts. Where remission of these is, verse 18, there is no more offering for sin. The cross is the finished work. There's no other way. Remember what Jesus told the people there in John 14? Capital I. I'm the way to truth and life. No man will come unto the Father but through him. That's final. There's no other way. Don't look for it. He said there's no more offering for sin. It's finished, Jesus said, on the cross. And he says in verse 19, now having therefore brothers and sisters, we got boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. What Jonathan shared this morning, and it's just a little bit ago in a testimony, I have to think of this verse. We have boldness to pray. We can go into our closet and we can shut the door. And it's me and Christ alone. It's us alone. Shut the door. Sometimes you speak and sometimes you just listen. A little bit like Elijah. He thought he was waiting for God to answer him. He ran from Jezebel. Scared to death. Actually, he wanted God to take his life. That's why he was scared to death. He wanted to commit suicide. He was finished with life. There's a storm. Well, maybe God is in that storm. There's a rock. See, it tore up in the mountains. All these things were happening. There's a fire. But God was not in them. His voice was not in there. All of a sudden, in that closet, so to speak, where Jesus says we should go in the closet and then shut the door. Alone. There's a still small voice. Yeah, I got work for you to do. I want you to do it. We got boldness now, brethren and sisters. Through the blood of Christ, there's power in the blood. We got boldness. Why? How? It's a question. It says, by a new and a living way, which he has created, consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He suffered. He took our sins on himself. And we need to believe him that we are free in him. Having a high priest over the house of God. That's Christ. The next one is Revelation 21. It's the last one. Revelation 21. Think about heaven. I'm not going to mention any names, but a lot of times, you know, things happen with people that we love, and we get information that, you know, that just happened to our family here not too long ago. We got information that a person that we watched grow up back home in Pennsylvania that's got cancer. And we all go through that, don't we? But think about it, people. We live in a fallen world. We're all going to have our hearts broke. I've been around long enough that I know that's going to happen. Seen our parents go. We've seen our parents die. You can't prepare for it. It's just hard. And some people lose children. It's just a hard thing. But a day will come. That will end. That will all end. That's the way it is. That's just how it is. But God will give us grace and he will help us. We all go through it. Chapter 21, verse 1, it says, this is what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. Believe he was cooked in oil, left for dead. Christ came to him and told him what to write. Isn't that amazing? And here we have Revelation. And here it says in verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It says the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. John saw that holy city, that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's who we are, church. We're the bride of Christ. Verse 3, it says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. John heard all this. And he says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be my people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Here's the verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears, because we've all had them, from their eyes. There shall be no more death. You will not lose any more loved ones in the world to come. That's the end of death. Neither will there be sorrow. Sometimes you meet people that are very sorrowful. I have a little shop at home, and I do small engine repair. And I meet a lot of older people, older than what I am. And a lot of times they share that they lost their wife. And it's hard on them. You know, my wife passed away 2 years ago. I says, you ever remarried? And he says, no, I couldn't. I mean, it's the love of their life. But they're still there in sorrow. You can feel it. You know, when you talk to them. What do you tell a person like that? A lot of times I'm sorry to hear that. But we all go through it. There's no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. The joints will not hurt anymore. There'll be no more headaches. There'll be no more stomach aches. No more pain. This is heaven, folks. John saw those things. And he says the former things are passed away. The things that we have happening to us now are gone. They all passed away. Then he said, and he that sat upon the throne, that told him to write, he says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. Write, for these words are true and they are faithful. They are the truth. This will happen, people. John saw it, and Jesus showed up, and he said, these words are true. I'm telling you to write. I wonder if Jesus knew that sometimes people doubt him, that we have a real battle with unbelief, that he kept coming back and reinforcing what he said. These words, write them. They're true. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Isn't that good enough? But he comes back and he reinforces and says, it's the truth. One place he said, there's no lies. I don't lie. I say the truth. The devil is the liar. But Jesus is truth. And he said, verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. Remember when he was on the cross? He looked down over the crowd, maybe a little bit like this. He looked down over the crowd. He was hanging on the cross and blood was flowing from his body. And he had a prayer for the people that put him on the cross. He said, it is finished. Then he also said, he prayed for those people that put him there. Because they did not know what he was doing. It is finished. He says, I am the Alpha, Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is a thirst. I. These big capital I's in here is Jesus talking. He's promising us that very thing. I'm giving you this. Sometimes I feel like a little innocent baby in the arms of Jesus. And he says, I'll promise you to do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. if you, and I keep looking away. Think about it. All these verses I shared with you this morning, folks, is a promise that the Almighty God gave you and I. It's a gift from home. And let's grab it and hold on to it and not let go. It just blessed me over and over again. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. That's a million-dollar thought, people, if we can put dollars to it. We are free people. We've been forgiven. To finish this verse, that fountain of water of life, He will give it to us freely. He's constantly giving us things. Just give, give, give. I love it. Don't you love the Lord this morning? He's what a Savior. And just a word of encouragement this morning. The Christian life has some homework. We probably thought, a lot of you people, a lot of school children sitting here, they probably thought, you know, when you got out of school, you're no more homework. But you know what? I think I got more homework now than I did when I went to school. What is that homework? Learn to forgive. Because people are going to trespass against you. They're going to speak against you sometimes, and you have to learn to forgive. Forgive people to set yourself free. Don't carry those things. It overloads you. It's just hard. It'll break you down. Set people free. Knowing that you are free, you're forgiven. Another one is huge. Is never speak evil of another person. That's a duty of a Christian. The Bible says that we should not do it. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. You have no right to speak evil of any man. From the slums of New York City to the President of the United States. That's the Word of God. He don't print it out like that, but He says, speak evil of no man. Because Jesus died for all people. Trials and temptations, I did share about that a little bit, but they will come. They will not go away, but King Jesus said, I will make a way of escape. Hallelujah. God bless you. God loves you this morning. And I just wondered if we could sing a verse of that song, or maybe there's what a day that will be. And then I'll turn the time over to whoever wants to come up.